Today, is low-rate monetary policy about to implode? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, with the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. There was a very interesting article that I saw in Bloomberg, and I just wanted to take you through some of the key points because it really underscored to me how we are reaching the bounds of monetary policy and more people are asking more questions about whether this whole low-rate thing is working. This is a memorandum on the European Central Bank's monetary policy, which was published on Friday and signed by a whole bunch of banking luminaries, including a former governor of the Bank of France, a former member of the ECB's executive board, the former president of Germany's Bundesbank, and a former governor of the Dutch Central Bank. A whole bunch of very well-connected people who seem to be suggesting that the whole ECB approach to monetary policy is deeply flawed. I want to go through this in some detail because it sort of builds on what I said last week about the fact that as rates get lower, the chances of monetary policy working gets less and less likely. So let's look at what they said. As formal central bankers and as European citizens, we are witnessing the ECB's ongoing crisis mode with growing concern. The ECB has pursued an extremely accommodative policy for years of economic growth and price stability. The recent slowdown in economic activity, although regarded as temporary by the ECB itself, and risks due to Brexit and the trade war have prompted the ECB to resume net asset purchases and further reduce the already negative deposit rates. Moreover, the ECB has committed itself to pursuing this extremely accommodative path for quite some time yet. Now they say, our concerns relate in particular to the following aspects of monetary policy. In October 1998, the Governing Council announced its definition of price stability as an average annual increase in the price level for the euro area of below 2%. The Council did not change this definition in the 2003 evaluation of its monetary policy strategy at all. And in the past few years, the ECB has de facto altered the initial definition of price stability by considering an inflation rate, for example, of 1.5% as unacceptable. For years now, the ECB has failed to meet its self-imposed target for raising the euro area inflation rate to a level of below but close to 2%. Which in the ECB's interpretation seems to be a point target. The ECB essentially justified in 2014 its ultra-loose policy by the threat of deflation. However, they say there has never been any danger of a deflationary spiral, and the ECB itself has seen less and less of a threat for some time. This weakens its logic in aiming for a higher inflation rate. The ECB's monetary policy is therefore based on, wait for it, a wrong diagnosis. The frequently used argument that the ECB would be violating its mandate with low inflation rates is simply inaccurate. The Maastricht Treaty enshrines this mandate, according to which the primary objective of the ECB is to maintain price stability. The second point they make is that the current consideration on defining the 2% threshold as a symmetrical inflation target represents a clear departure from a policy focused on price stability. This is particularly true if symmetry is understood in the sense that after years of undershooting the 2% mark, a similar period of time should be spent allowing for an overshooting of the 2% inflation rate. And incidentally, after years of unsuccessful inflationary policy, does the ECB intend to convince the public and the markets that it will succeed in stopping inflation at a certain level in good time? Then they go on to say, there is broad consensus that after years of quantitative easing, continued securities purchased by the ECB will hardly yield any positive effects on growth. This makes it difficult to understand the monetary policy logic of resuming net asset purchases. In contrast, the suspicion that behind this measure lies an intent to protect heavily indebted governments from a rise in interest rates is becoming increasingly well-founded. From an economic point of view, the ECB has already entered the territory of monetary financing of government spending, which actually is strictly prohibited by the treaty. Negative side effects from low or negative central bank interest rates was an issue for quite some time. Meanwhile, these effects dominate as stressed in the theory of the reversal interest rate, by which the intended effect of very low rates is reversed and becomes contractionary. The negative impact of the ultra-low interest rate extends from the banking system through insurance companies and pension funds to the entire financial sector. The redistribution effect in favour of owners of real assets creates serious social tensions. The young generations consider themselves deprived of the opportunity to provide for their old age through safe, interest-bearing investments. The search for yield boosts artificially the price of assets to a level that ultimately threatens to risk in an abrupt market correction or even in a deep crisis. Extensive loans at extremely low interest rates keep weak banks and indirectly through their lending weak companies afloat. This is accomplished in particular via targeted longer term refinancing operations, the TLTROs, which rose considerably in 2018. The significant negative effects of very low or negative interest rates also include a zombification of the economy, which according to OECD and BIS studies, has already reached a considerable level in some countries and is contributing to weaker productivity growth. In extending and further strengthening forward guidance, the ECB is firmly establishing a commitment to ultra-loose monetary policy for the future, thereby substantially impeding the exit from such policy. A decade ago, the ECB's monetary policy made a significant contribution to overcoming the severe recession and consolidating growth thereafter. However, the longer the ECB stays its extremely accommodative path, the more the negative effects prevail. Interest rates have lost their steering function, and financial stability risks have increased. The longer the ultra-low or negative interest rate policy and liquidity flooding of markets continues, the greater the potential for a setback. Should a major crisis strike, it will be of very different dimensions than those that we've seen before. Like other central banks, the ECB is threatened with the end of its control over the creation of money. These developments imply high risk for central bank independence, de jure, or de facto. Now, that's quite a serve from those banking luminaries, and I have to say, I agree with every word they say. The fact is that ultra-low interest rates are not working. Assets are being inflated artificially. Zombie firms are being supported when they should be allowed to fail. And zombie banks are being supported when they should be allowed to fail. So I think we're reaching the lower bounds of monetary policy in this form. And I suspect that the time is coming quite soon now where further reviews will be required to the direction of monetary policy. I just wish that the Reserve Bank in Australia was more alert to some of these risks and some of the lessons from the ECB, because they are taking us down a blind alley here in Australia at the moment. And my concern is that we are digging a hole which will be very, very difficult to get out of. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.